Thank you for tuning into sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. Our goal is to help you know God more and take the next step in your spiritual journey, no matter where you're at. If you have questions about God or about Liberty, you can connect with us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
Alone. She said hello. I said alone. I'm sorry. I didn't say it very clearly there, but hello, wherever Carissa's mom is, I know who that is. She's over there somewhere. She's the one that talks back to me. The word alone, not a word that usually conjures up images of joy, warmth, peace. Quite the opposite. When we think of that word alone or being all alone somewhere, can bring feelings of fear, of sadness, of insecurity. In fact, there's a reality show that is simply titled that, Alone. Maybe some of you have seen it. And I think it's going on 12 seasons now. It's just built around us watching people have to navigate all of the challenges of being put out in the wilderness and the fears and the craziness that happens when you are isolated from all human contact. Have you ever been on a camping trip and ended up alone in the woods? Or maybe in a big city that you're unfamiliar with and there's a lot of people there, but no one that you know, and you're walking by yourself, and maybe there's that feeling of looking over your shoulder or wondering what's around the next corner or where you're going. Am I safe? Some of you know that feeling, whether it's in a big city or out in the woods. Being alone at times can create some fear in our lives. Have you ever heard a wild animal while you're in the woods all alone? What is that feeling that comes? Maybe for many it would be a feeling of fear or terror. And is it interesting that same sound, if you're sitting around a campfire with a bunch of family and friends out and camping, you hear that same sound and everybody kind of at first maybe, oh, what was that? And then everybody starts laughing. The feeling is totally different with the same circumstances because of who you're with, because just having someone with you changes it. The truth is, one of our greatest human needs is companionship. To not be alone in life. And I'm not talking today about marriage or singleness. I've preached on that and God's plan for that. This is not what this means, but the idea of isolation, having no friends, no family, no community, that idea. What was the one thing that God said after he created the world? About everything he said, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And then what did he say in Genesis? He said, it is not good that man should be alone, isolated. We were created with an innate need for friendship, for partnership, for companionship, a need to belong, a need to be with others. Didn't COVID quickly show all of us the incredibly painful and negative impacts of being isolated? Do you remember that? Some 5 years ago now, what was intended to protect our physical health ended up very quickly having really negative impacts on our emotional health, our relational, our mental health. It deeply affected us spiritually, and studies since then have shown how bad that isolation was. I remember in 2020, my grandmother was in a care facility in Santa Clara, where my wife and I are from in Northern California. My mom lives in a condominium literally adjacent to the property where my grandmother's care facility was before she went to heaven. And my mom would go over there with my brother Robert several times a week, and they would go sit with her and play games with her and talk to her. And every Sunday they would pick her up and take her to church, and they would bring her home and have a Sunday dinner and all of those things. And so she had all of this interaction. And when COVID came, that no longer were visitors allowed to come into the facility, and no longer were they allowed to go into their rooms, and she was no longer able to get out to go to church or to come out to go to Sunday dinner with the family. And I remember my mom sending me a heartbreaking picture. My mom could come, and in the parking lot, they had set up this plexiglass barrier, and my grandma could be wheeled out behind this, and my mom could sit behind that and talk to her and maybe put the hand up there. And I remember my mom telling me, it's amazing how quickly it seems she's deteriorating because she's not getting that interaction that she was so used to getting. Isolation is one of the worst things a human can experience. What do we do to criminals? When they do something wrong, we put them in jail. And then if they do something wrong in jail, where do we send them? to solitary confinement. Why? Because we realize isolation is one of the worst punishments you can have. And what does Christmas mean to me? Our third and final week in this series on what should Christmas mean to you from Scripture. What does Christmas mean to me? Christmas is God telling you, you are not alone. You don't ever have to be alone. I want you to see it. If you have your Bibles, turn where we've been in our text passage for the last two Sundays and now our third Sunday, Matthew 1. And as I said 2 weeks ago when we began this series, what does Christmas mean to me? That we're going to begin in Matthew's telling of the Christmas story, Matthew 1, every Sunday, and then we would springboard to another passage each week. And so we've done that. We were in Hebrews, and today we were in John last week. Today we're going to be in the first chapter of Matthew and the last chapter of Matthew. So if you have a physical copy of God's word, you might want to put a marker there in Matthew 28 and then turn over to Matthew 1. We'll begin where we've begun the last couple of weeks, reading Matthew's Christmas story, and then we'll turn over to Matthew chapter number 28. If you don't have a copy of God's word with you, there should be one in the pew rack, either right in front of you or if you're in the first row of a section right behind you, and you can grab that, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 1. We're going to begin in verse number 18, where we've been each and every week, Matthew 1, verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It went this way. When as his mother was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a good man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, isn't it amazing how many times in Matthew and Luke's Christmas story, fear not is found. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what, church? Jesus. Here's where our first message came from. For he shall save his people from their sins. The first thing I told you that Christmas means to me is that God understands me. We have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help for grace to help in time of need. We have a God who understands me. Christmas is the reminder that God did not just stay up in heaven. He came, was wrapped in human flesh, dwelt among us. And he knows what we're going through. God understands me. Last week, we saw that we have a God that loves me. In John 3:16, now verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. Now verse 23 is pointing back to Isaiah. If you like to take notes in your Bible, this is a fulfilled prophecy of Isaiah chapter number 7. Isaiah had said this many, many, many centuries before, and now it's coming to fruition. Verse 23, would you read verse 23 aloud with me? Ready? Begin. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, which being interpreted is, would you say those last three words? God with us. One more time. God with us. We just sang it, Emmanuel. That last song there, God with us. Behold, verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What does Christmas mean to me? God understands me, God loves me, and our last message, God is with me. God is with me. What is maybe the greatest message of Christ coming to earth? We have a God who is with us. We are not alone. No matter who might betray us or who might walk out on us, no matter what human relationships fail us and which ones bring us heartache, we have Emmanuel, a God who is with us. He didn't leave us here to figure it all out on our own. We don't have to figure this life out on earth on our own, and we don't have to figure out eternity on our own. We have a God who is with us, and he shall save his people from their sins. What is one of the worst things that you can say about someone? They aren't there for the people that need them. Well, he is an absent father. or she is a disinterested boss, or that politician is disconnected from reality. To say that somebody isn't there for the people that need them is one of the worst things that you can say about someone, whether it's a husband or a wife, a mom or a dad, a boss, somebody at work, or somebody in politics. To be absent, to be disinterested, to be disconnected. What do those words communicate when we say he's an absent father, or she's a disinterested boss, or he's a politician disconnected from reality? What do they communicate? That person doesn't care. They're absent. They aren't involved. They don't know what we need. And what does Emmanuel, verse 24, she shall bring forth a son and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Jesus has many names. Jesus, he is the Christ, and he's called in Isaiah, Wonderful and Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, many titles. But one of them, and maybe one of my favorites, is Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel. God is with us. What does that word tell us? What does that title tell us? We have a Savior who is the opposite of absent, the opposite of disconnected, the opposite of disinterested. He cares. He's involved. He knows what we need. He's here. Now, what does this truth do, that God is with me, that he is present? What does his presence do? It gives us some of the greatest gifts we could ever receive. I want you to see it, and here's where we're going to be for the rest of our message. Turn to the last chapter of Matthew. We're going to look at the last four or five verses of this book of Matthew's gospel. It starts in chapter 1 telling us, she shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let's look at the end of his life. The end of his life, after his crucifixion, after his resurrection. Notice what it says in Matthew chapter number 28. We call this the Great Commission, Jesus' final recorded words in Matthew's gospel. I want you to see it, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, you remember why there are only 11? Judas has committed suicide. There are only 11 left. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. What has happened? They are alone, if you will. Jesus has left. He is resurrected. They don't know what's happening. They went to the tomb and his body wasn't there anymore. He died 3 days ago. They're scared. They're fearful. It looks like they could maybe be put to death as well for being followers of Jesus. Their leader, their hero, the one that they had given their lives to, has now been killed by the opposition. They are in a place of great fear, of great uncertainty, of great doubt, of great questions. What is God doing? What is God's plan for my life? Notice verse 17, and when they saw him, this is Galilee, this is several hour drive, this is a day or two walk from Jerusalem where he had resurrected from. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's the Great Commission. It's why God left us here on earth. And lo, I am with you. Do you see it there? Lo, I am with you. Lo, I am with you. For how long? Always. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. God is with us, yes, in the manger at his birth. But what were the last words, some of the first words that were spoken about him in Matthew 1? You're going to have a son, which is God with us. What were his last words? God with us. As I ascend back into heaven, I am still with you. I will send a comfort. I will send the Holy Spirit. I am with you. What is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, messages of Christmas? What does Christmas mean to me? And what should it mean to you? God is with you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He was Emmanuel at his birth, and he was Emmanuel after his resurrection, and he is still Emmanuel today. His presence brings us some wonderful gifts. What does it bring us in this passage? Number one, I see they were alone. And then what happened when his presence was back with them? His presence brought them to worship. Do you see it in verse 17? And when they saw him, they worshiped him. The fact that we have a God who is with us should lead us to worship. It should lead us to love and to gratitude. You understand me, God. You love me. You died for me. You hear my prayers. You care for me. This truth should lead to an awe, a reverence, a heart of worship. We don't have a distant, disinterested, absent God. We have a God who is present, who is with us, who cares, who hears, and this should lead us to worship. What did the wise men do? You remember what happened when they found out that God was with us? What did it lead them to do? Do you recall when the wise men in Matthew 2, we'll talk about it on Wednesday night at our Christmas Eve service, when the wise men saw the star and they followed the star and they came to the place where the baby lay, what does the Bible say? They fell down and worshiped. The fact that God would love you so much to send his only begotten son should lead you to an awe, a reverence, a gratitude, a worship. A heart of worship, a life of worship. Christ is here. Let that lead you to worship. By the way, what does it say at the end of verse 17? But some doubted. God with us, some worshiped, some doubted. Which group are you going to be in? Well, I'm not sure. I don't know about that. Let God with us, the birth of Christ, lead you to worship. What else does God with us give us? What presence does it bring? What presence does his presence, if you will, bring? Number two, it brings to us, it gives us power. Verse number 18, and Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The first three words of verse number 19, go ye therefore. I have all power, Jesus says, and because I am with you, you have access to that power. Go ye therefore. You say, but I can't do this on my own. I can't fulfill the calling that God has for me. I don't know what God's doing in my life. I'm not strong enough. What does Christmas mean to me? God is with us. It gives us the power. We have access to a power greater than our own. We can do what God has led us to do, has called us to do, not because we are strong, but when we are weak, then is he strong. And Emmanuel, God with us, is the reminder. We have access to a power greater than ourselves. What were Christ's words, last recorded words in Acts chapter number 1 before he ascended back into heaven at the end of his time between his resurrection and his ascension? Do you remember what he told his followers there in Acts 1:8? But ye shall receive what, church? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What does Jesus say? God with us gives us a power to face that which we're called to face, to walk where God's led us to walk, to live the life that God wants us to live. God with us should lead us to worship, but it's a reminder that God has given us the power that we need. Not in our own strength. This is not a self-help speech. This is a Savior help speech. It's not a self-dependence or a self-righteousness. It's a Savior dependence and a Savior righteousness. He is with us, and because of that, we have power. Ever feel like you're not up to the task of some area of your life? You just can't do it in your own strength, and you get a little discouraged? Here's the encouragement. You're right. You can't do it in your own strength. And you don't have to. Why? Because Emmanuel, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore. Because of the power, and I am with you, you have the power through me to do what I've called you to do. God with us means we have power greater than our own strength. I've traveled to multiple countries and multiple states at different times with different people. I've sometimes traveled on my own. And then sometimes I've had the privilege to travel to a few different countries and to various states with Pastor Sammy. Most of you know Pastor Sammy, and Pastor Sammy is a pretty strong guy, a pretty big guy. And you see Pastor Sammy, he fills up a room with his muscles and his personality, right? He's not in here right now. He's preparing for a special Spanish service. They have a parent baby dedication this morning. And And I've been there, and do you know, every time we've been to some places, some unfamiliar surroundings, some places where we don't speak the language. We've been to some places where maybe it's a little even unnerving and kind of like, oh, what's happening here? I'm not sure that I feel super comfortable. But do you know, every time I'm with Pastor Sammy, I always feel a little more comfortable. You know why that is? Because apart from these two registered weapons right here, when I'm with Pastor Sammy, I have access to a power greater than myself. There are not a lot of people that want to mess with a guy that as big as Pastor Sammy. I think, Jessica, you probably feel the same way with Michael going places, right? Another kind of guy that not a lot of people want to mess with. And so this is true. I'll be in certain situations. And if I were in that situation by myself, I might not feel as comfortable. But if I've got a lot of friends or even just some of the not a lot, but a couple of the right ones, I have a greater confidence. I have access to a power greater than my, it's not my strength that gives me that access, it's his. Christmas is a reminder that God with us gives us access to power greater than our own. What else does this truth give us from this passage? God with us, it should lead us to worship, it gives us power, it also, number three, gives us a purpose. It gives us a purpose. God with us gives us a purpose for living. Verse number 19, here's your purpose. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. What was Jesus saying? Hey, disciples, as I leave, I'm going to send the Comforter back. I am still with you, and your life has meaning. Because you know me, your life has purpose. Here's what your life is about. Tell everybody you can about me. Bring honor and glory to me. Teach them what I've taught you. Live according to the things I've taught you. Because you know me, your life has purpose. Have you ever struggled finding your purpose? Maybe some in this room right now are struggling with that. Wondering, what is my purpose? What is this all about? God with us is the reminder that our life has eternal value, eternal purpose. Our life matters. His coming to earth gives your time on earth purpose. Why are we here? To reflect the love we've received from him. When we know Christ, our lives have purpose beyond just what temporary pleasure we can enjoy today. Our life now has eternal purpose and eternal reward. And number four, what else does God with us bring to us? Number four, it should bring to us a peace, a comfort. No matter what we face, what did Jesus say? His last recorded words. Think about this. He knew what under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the last recorded words of Matthew would be. What were the last recorded words of Matthew? What did he say? And lo, I am with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm here. What does that truth bring, God with us? It brings a peace, doesn't it? We're never alone. What did Jesus promise his followers would happen after he ascended into heaven? John chapter 14, verse 26, he said, but the Comforter, the one that will give you peace and comfort, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus telling his disciples toward the end of his earthly life, I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I am not leaving you alone. Emmanuel, God will be with you. Let that bring you comfort. God is with you. Whatever you're walking through, whatever uncertainties you face in 2026, whatever burden you're carrying, whatever need you have that's too big and you don't understand how you're going to get through it, Christmas is the reminder that God is with us, and that should bring us a peace, a comfort. If you're a follower of Christ, you are never alone. You have that peace. You have a Father who is there, a Comforter. Isn't it true that a child walking through a crowded place may not understand every danger, but they feel safe because they're holding their parents' hand? The danger hasn't vanished, the crowd hasn't thinned, but the child's confidence comes from who they're with, not from the surroundings. If dad has my hand, if mom has my hand, I'm at peace. If I have the presence of the Father, I'm at peace. I have comfort. Protection, by the way, this idea of peace in our lives, it's not always about the absence of storms. It's the presence of God in the midst of our storms. I have seen many times in different ways the peace that my presence or my wife's presence has brought our five children in fearful or challenging times in their lives. Where us being there or them being able to call us or a text or when they were little, our presence, the peace, the comfort that our presence brought to our five children in challenging times of their lives. I remember teaching all of our kids to swim and spending countless hours in pools with them. In the summer of 2008, Tiffany and I, we had three kids at that time, ages 1, 3, and 5. We didn't have much money. We were a young married couple with three kids, but we wanted to take our young family on a vacation. And so I had never been, but I found a great deal on a resort in Scottsdale, Arizona, beautiful resort with a beautiful pool. No one told me it was a great deal because no one wants to go to Scottsdale, Arizona in the summer. So I was the only one at the resort. Nobody else was dumb enough. And so I was like, hey, we got a great deal. Let's go to Arizona. We live in California. It's not too far. And so we went. We spent most of our days there by the resort pool. Can I show you a picture of the cutest little kid you've ever seen by a pool? Here he is right there. Isn't that guy cute? That's TJ when he was 1 and a half. He's not as cute now. I think he's 19 now. But I remember when all five of our kids were around this age. And do you notice where he is? He's on the first step. He's not going to go into the deep end by himself at age 1, 1 and a half probably. And we probably wouldn't have wanted him to, especially if we didn't have the floaties on there. But he's there at that first step. And I remember when they were that age, and I would encourage them as I was on the side of the pool with them, hey, jump in. No, Dad, no. Or if they couldn't really talk, they would kind of push away and I'd be pushing them from behind and they'd be using all their strength to run behind me. If you're a parent of a young children, you maybe remember some things like this. You'll be okay. You've got the floaties on. No, Dad, I'm scared. And I can remember times where the fear would get to, they would almost be in tears. I can't do it, Dad. And you know what would change is if I would get into the pool before them and then kind of, and I would have to come. Now, if I started, let's say the pool was, they were standing there on the edge of the pool. If I was here, they weren't coming. And I had to get a little closer, right? And closer to, you're almost like, they're almost touching you. And then they just kind of force themselves to lean in and barely fall into your arms. And then you let them in and you let them see, nothing bad happened. Dad's here. Is Dad going to let you get hurt? I'll ask questions. I remember asking questions. Is Dad going to let anything happen to you? I'm going to make sure you're safe. You'll be fine. Dad's right here. Come on, jump in. It's fun. And then they would get back out and put them back up, and they're still a little scared, and maybe now I didn't have to be 1 inch from them. I could be maybe a foot, and they would jump in. And after a while, before you know it, they're jumping in like this, and this next picture here, and after they've done it a few times, they get used to it, and there's Titus. Do you see any fear on that face? Or the next one at 5, doesn't even care where Dad is. There it is, totally fine. There's Ashlyn, and then they're all three in the pool together without Dad. But what happens there in those? I remember many a time, if Dad was there, I could overcome my fear. And what was fearful became enjoyable because Dad was there. What was fearful, all of a sudden, Dad's presence brought peace. It brought security. It brought comfort. What they were terrified of became a blast because of the peace that the Father's presence brought. And if you have young kids like this, I have to warn you, if you get them used to it, after a while the tables will turn. You'll be in your backyard trying to tell them not to jump off of the wall that's 10 feet above the pool, and your wife is yelling, Ryan, what are you letting them do? And then you have to tell them to stop. No, Mom's watching, we can't do that. And it's no longer the children that are fearful of them jumping into the pool. It's now the parents that are fearful of them jumping into the pool. But what is that a reminder? What does God with us do? It brings a peace. It brings a comfort. By the way, whatever danger they were scared of the pool didn't change with Dad in the water. That the pool was still there. Nothing about the circumstances changed. What changed was the presence of the Father. When Dad is in the deep end with them, the child finds peace. God brings us peace when our hearts are troubled. The next verse of John 14 says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm with you. So what Jesus is saying is he's getting ready to leave. I'm going to send the comforter and I'm going to leave you peace. The peace you're looking for is found in God with us. Then lastly, What does this truth of God with us do? It gives us protection. Do you see the last phrase? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I don't know about you. I don't think it gets much worse than the world ends. That's kind of like the worst possible scenario, am I right? The end of the world. And what is Jesus saying? No matter how bad it gets, even to the end of the world, I am with you. What does that do? That tells us that we have a protection. We have a Father that is there. No matter how bad things get, we have access to a power. We have a purpose for living. We have peace, but we have protection. The Bible says, no man shall pluck us out of the Father's hands. God, no matter the most cataclysmic world-ending events, He is still with us. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Psalm 91 says this, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, look at this, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my protection, my fortress, my protection, my God, in him will I trust. It says, you dwell in the secret place, you're under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know that a shadow only exists when someone or something is close? You can't be under someone's shadow from a distance. If we're under his shadow, that means that God is nearer than the threat. The enemy never gets closer to you than God already is. You're under the shadow of the Almighty. There is a protection with God with us. There is a peace with God. God is with me. What did David say? The Lord is my shepherd. And doesn't the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray, likens us to sheep, and he is the great shepherd. Do you know that for sheep, especially in Bible times, the protection for the sheep did not come from a fence. The protection for sheep came from the presence of the shepherd. The shepherd would literally at night lay down in the sheep gate, in the gate that the sheep went in and out of, and he would lay there to make sure any threat, any enemy, any predator that wanted to get to the sheep had to come through the shepherd first. My father-in-law used to say it this way, all of our fiery trials are father-filtered. What is it teaching us? Nothing comes to us that it doesn't get through the shepherd. Jesus didn't just build a wall around us. He stands between us and danger, between us and the enemy. Emmanuel means the shepherd is still on duty. The Lord is my shepherd, by the way, doesn't mean that trouble disappears. It means that we never face it alone. God promised his people in Deuteronomy and reiterated in Hebrews that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So what does Christmas mean to me? It means 2 weeks ago, God understands me. What a beautiful truth. Last week, God loves me. This week, God is with me. For more than 2,000 years, even before Christ was born, lighthouses have been built along dangerous coastlines for the safety of ships. Lighthouses aren't built to calm storms. Lighthouses don't stop waves. They don't silence the wind, and they don't remove the darkness. What do? They stand firm in the midst of storms, unshaken and unmoved. And when sailors are caught in violent seas, they don't look for calmer water, they look for the light. Why? Because if a sailor sees a lighthouse, the sailor is assured of three things. Number one, they are not alone. There is help right there. There is someone there. If I see the lighthouse, I know that I'm not alone. Number two, I know that I'm not lost. I know where the shore is. I know how to get to safety. And number three, I know that there is a safe direction forward. The presence of the lighthouse changes everything for the sailor that is sailing through stormy seas. And that is what Emmanuel is for us. That is what God with us means to us. God didn't promise us a storm-free life. He promised to be there unmoved with us in the storms of life. And if Emmanuel is with us, what does that mean? That means that we are not alone. That we are not lost, and there is a safe path forward. We are under the shadow of the Almighty. Let that truth this Christmas week comfort you. God is with you. God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to earth. It's what we celebrate at Christmas, the birth of Christ. Yes, to become a baby, but as we sung about it already today, to live 33 sinless years, to die in your place and in mine on the cross of Calvary, to be buried and to rise again. And then after he rose again, what did he say? He wasn't just Emmanuel in the manger. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm leaving, but I'll send a comforter, the Holy Ghost. My peace I leave with you. God is with us. His presence brings power. The God who rules the seas stands with you in them. His presence brings a purpose. That light leads us. His presence brings peace. His presence brings protection. Let that lead you to worship. God is with us. God is with me. That's what Christmas means to me. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that God is with you, there's never been a time and a place in your life that you put your faith and trust in Christ alone as your personal Savior, that the Christ of Christmas has never become your Christ, your Savior, your Messiah. Let Christmas 2025 be the time that you put your faith and trust in Christ alone, and God will be with you every step of this journey and for all eternity. Let that truth change everything. God is with you.
Thank you for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.